So I don't know how easy it's going to be. I'll be totally frank with you. I don't know how easy it's going to be. I know they say they're going to hire a top-end assistant general manager whose team's involved in the playoffs. I have a very good idea of who that is, but I'm not going to tell you his name, just out of respect. And he is a very good hockey man, but I just don't know how they're going to get it going. I'm being totally frank. It's going to be very interesting to watch.
Yes, it is. That's Pierre McGuire every day after 5 o'clock on TSN 690. And, yeah, Pierre, so listen, Pierre McGuire going hard sort of after the Phoenix Coyotes yesterday and doubling down on things he's been saying for a long time. And McGuire doesn't buy into the analytics movement. For me, the thing and the problem is, and this is what people do, right? When people want to be dismissive of the concept of analytics and the idea of the Arizona Coyotes bringing in a general manager whose focus is going to be numbers-based, it's that, well, you can't just look at the numbers. Nobody's saying you're going to just look at the numbers. All you're doing is getting more information. Everyone's watching the games. You're just getting more information. You're not just relying on what you see with your eyes. So here's more from Pierre McGuire.
This will be the ultimate test. There's a referendum on whether analytics work or not, because it didn't work in Buffalo and it didn't work in Edmonton and it didn't work in Toronto. So I got to think, if it doesn't work four times, that's enough. That's enough chances.
That is absolute nonsense from Pierre McGuire. Absolute nonsense. And now, to come out and say, first of all, that there's a referendum going on analytics, there is no referendum. The referendum is over. Every NHL team, to some extent, has accepted that this is a valuable tool to be used. The question is to what extent you're using it.
Don't use it all the same way.
That's fine. But they all use it.
Yeah.
Of course.
All right.
Course. Here's the other stuff thing. We don't use. The example, they can use like how many scoring chances I have on power plays and make a stat out of it. And we, all of us, don't do that.
Right. Here's the other thing. To come out and say what he says, that Toronto, that the analytics moves in Toronto have failed, they have not failed. That is absolute insanity. It's gone exactly the way they've wanted it to go. To say that it hasn't worked in Edmonton also is a little bit ridiculous, because what you're saying is that you expected them to embrace analytics and immediately start winning. Terrible teams like Buffalo, Edmonton, and Toronto, all of a sudden, you know what? Let's start really taking a look at these numbers and using them, and all of a sudden you're just going to become a winning team. Your roster is garbage. It's going to take time to turn this around. Toronto's rebuild is going, honestly, when Brendan Shanahan took over and made his plan, what they call the Shanna plan, it could not have gone any better than it's gone for them so far. They've had a ton of luck along the way. But to say that it's failed in Toronto, Toronto wanted to lose. They were literally trying to lose as many games as they could last year to make sure that they had the best chance of getting Austin Matthews. They now have him. Mm-hmm. The analytics hires and moves have not failed in Toronto.
Look, I don't know if Pierre McGuire is a hockey Luddite. I think that's what they call him, right? Those who resist technological advance. And I know that McGuire was schooled under Scotty Bowman. And so maybe there's this sense that, hey, it's got to come from the heart or the gut or the feel or what you only see with your eyes. But Scotty Bowman was so far ahead of so many other coaches of his day, even things like cross training, taking hockey players over to the Westmount swimming pool to do swimming pool fitness training, things that other teams scoffed at and laughed at, you know, and in some circles, maybe that's still the way analytics is viewed. But you don't throw the computers away because you don't like the answers you're getting. If teams are still struggling, those teams that use analytics, it doesn't mean it's not giving them a clearer picture of where their franchise is and where it's headed.
I'll preface what I'm about to say with, I'm not speaking for anyone else in this room, but this is just my take on what Pierre McGuire is doing. Pierre McGuire wants to get a job as a general manager in the National Hockey League. While he has denied this fact, it has been true, and he has interviewed for multiple jobs over the last couple years. He has come out hard against analytics and made it very clear that this is something he has no time for, and someone like John Shaika getting hired in Arizona is a clear a threat to someone like Pierre McGuire getting a job in the National Hockey League as a GM, because if this works in Arizona, if there's any success, if it works in Toronto, it means guys like McGuire are not going to get jobs as general managers. That, mm-hmm. personally, is how I see his position on this.
I think there would have been, there was a time, maybe a younger version of Pierre would have taken a general manager's job in the NHL. I think at this point in Pierre's career, there's only one GM job that he would take.
What do you mean, a younger, like a year ago or two years ago?
I would say a decade ago.
A decade ago. He was interviewing for jobs 2 years ago, Sean.
I understand.
He interviewed for the Pittsburgh job that Jim Rutherford got.
Correct.
It was two years ago.
There's the one job that he wants, and the one job I legitimately believe that he would take if it was ever offered to him, and that's the one in this market here.
Well, anyway, they have the same thoughts on analytics here that Pierre does. That's for sure.
No, they don't use Christopher Boucher in Montreal, but they have their own analytic.
Yes.
About analytic, it's if you don't watch game, analytics doesn't work anything to me at all. I'd prove it many times to Chris Boucher, and Chris Boucher would be the first guy to tell you if you don't watch games. Analytics doesn't help you at all.
But no one's saying it does, right? That's the problem here.
Everybody who cares of analytics should know that first. Two, I hope the guy is going to work in Arizona. And I don't feel it's a threat for a guy like Pierre Maguire. Me, I don't go like full Pierre Maguire. I'm for Pierre Maguire or I'm against. I understand everything. I understand his... why you scare? I understand because analytic give, you know, Pierre Maguire is the only one to me from the outside, and I work with radio francophone, anglophone, TV francophone. I saw many guys doing our job. Many of them are cheaters, and to me, Pierre Maguire is watching a lot of games.
Oh, no doubt,
a lot of games. And if analytics can bring some help to those cheaters in our business. To can comment on hockey game without watching it because they have analytics, that pisses me off too. That's why I said it many times to Chris. You need, because when people bring me stuff about other teams, whoops, they realize I watch those games, and you can fool me with those analytics because I watch those games. I feel like Pierre feels like he's challenged in what he does because he's not the only one, but there's not many people like Pierre who watch as many games as he does.
100% agree.
So
with what
I
you
can
just
feel
said.
His frustration in that remark. I remember one of his best quotes on Mitch Melnick's show. He said, "People were voting for the All-Star team, and people put Ovechkin on the left side and on the right side." And he said, "Many media guy call him to ask him stuff about players, and they don't know what's going on." I remember a media guy here in Montreal asking Jacques Martin about Dustin Byfuglien, saying he's a big presence in front of the net. And Jacques Martin looking at the reporter is saying, "I don't know if you watched those games lately, but he's a defenseman. So if you stick in front of our net, we're going to have fun." People don't watch games. A lot of them are cheaters. So this is for the threat to Pierre Maguire, what he does. To me, the guy, if he has success in Arizona, and I wish he would have for his age, for what he brings new, stuff like that. And just saying, for Toronto, they have success, not in Toronto, they had success with the Marlies. This is where Dubas, you can see,
Correct. Is
success. Nothing at all with the Leafs, with the record, with Babcock, with everything. There's nothing to do with it.
So
the analytics have something to do with what happened with the Marlies.
So, sorry, since Brandon Shanahan took over, would you say it's been a success so far, what he's tried to do?
The success is to put out the stuff you don't want anymore. And the salary and all that stuff, all that crap, just clean the house and rebuild.
Which is traditional hockey business.
Yes.
Right? There's nothing to do analytical
with,
about
nothing
that.
To do with the analytic. And you know
what? Except that analytics can help you, can prevent you from falling in love with your own players, from recognizing that what you have isn't necessarily
That's
the best.
Good point.
It helps you
well, sure.
in decision making.
It's a salary cap world.
But there will always be a place for those hockey men like Pierre Maguire who work the rooms, who talk to coaches, talk to the GMs, know the players from, in some cases, it seems almost their hockey infancy.
Just to finish my thought, to me, if Pierre Maguire doesn't have a job as a GM as he wished, and if he wished to have one, it has nothing to do because he doesn't like analytics. It's the way, it's an interview. It's a, I like your thoughts. I like the way you think about the games. It's about the personality of Pierre Maguire more than analytics or not.
Pierre Maguire knows more about hockey, or has forgotten more about hockey than I'll ever know. I will very proudly admit this. It's just the truth. I'll never know as much about hockey as Pierre does. The guy, he is an literal encyclopedia. Mm-hmm. And the work he did with the World Juniors over the years helped him to know so much about the players that were coming up. So he has been tracking so many of these guys forever. And you're right, Martin. I don't know if there's anybody who watches more hockey than Pierre Maguire does.
Not only that, there's people who are working in our business, even if they watch 1,000 games, they don't have the nose for the game. They can't understand what's going on in the ice. You go with a guy, and I'll say a name. Many times people told me Michel Bergeron is out. He's always talking about Peter Stastny. You watch a game with Michel Bergeron.
It's crazy, eh?
You watch a game with Michel Bergeron, you see stuff ahead of what's going to happen. You have the nose for the...
It's the same thing with Chris Nyland here. You watch it with a former player. They see the game but differently.
But some ex-player...
They just do.
They're dumb. They can't find it. They don't get it. Even if they play the game, they don't get it. It's something you have or you don't have. And Pierre Maguire have that stuff. He understands the game.
Undeniable.
He knows players. He worked hard. So I give him all the credit.
But his whole life has been devoted to the game.
Right. Yeah.
Right? I mean...
But this is the thing, is that, you know, we always deal in extremes. This is what I feel Pierre is doing, is that instead of saying, you know, this is great, watch as many games as you can and soak up all the knowledge you can, and then also, here is another tool that you can use. Here is more information that you can use. And the other thing is, look, even if you're the smartest hockey guy in the world, sometimes your eyes are going to lie to you. Sometimes your bias is going to come through in what you see. You're going to look for things that confirm what you believe, and you're not going to see things that don't confirm what you believe. Everybody, this is not unique to anybody. It's just a basic facet of human nature. And all this is, you know, analytics, it's a fancy word that people are dismissive of. The point, it's just information. That's all it is. It's more information.
Analytics is not even a stats. Analytics, it's a program.
It's a concept.
Who give you the number of what you need. How many hit in the offensive zone? How many hit in the defensive zone? How many times you puck press hard and get the turnover? You can make the program work of what you want and what you need. And all those guys from the past, I had it in RDS, and they all told me on my 10-minute chrono show, I don't want to know anything about, because I was doing an interview every week with Chris Boucher. They all go, I don't want to know about it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what the problem is?
I told them, I took them, all of them, by the hand, and I showed them how it works, what you need to know, and they all go, I thought it was not, I didn't know it was
because
like
it's
that.
New, it sounds complicated. Exactly. Corsi for, Corsi against, possession
That's
numbers.
It has nothing to do with Corsi anymore. It's over. It's,
I know, but
so
I mean, it's the numbers, and you know, math is hard for a lot of people, myself included. You know, and I'd never been a gifted mathematician at any point when I was in school, right? So it's frightening to a lot of people because it puts them in an uncomfortable zone. And again, it's like PK Subban.
If you want to
draw a parallel, he goes against the grain. He's against the culture. He's against the tradition of hockey. And that puts people in an uncomfortable position, and no one likes to be there for too long, you know? And the same thing about teams that kind of have moved into a new era. The first ones through the wall get it the toughest. And then everyone follows because the path has been made clear for them by the guys first through the wall.
And everybody have his way to see the game. You know, Brian Burke went to Anaheim. What he did? He built up a team bigger, and he went after defensemen. Pronger, Niedermeyer. You need the. He went to Toronto. He went right after Dion Phaneuf, thinking it would be the same thing as Pronger did for the Anaheim Ducks. He went to Calgary. Don't be surprised if Calgary went after the best young defenseman who can be available, like Doug Yamel. You know, this is the trademark of Brian Burke. This is the way you think about the game. So you can follow all those GM. They all have those philosophy. You know what Ken Allen, Jim Neal think about the game. You have to burn your category, your juniors before you switch to the AHL. And when you're going to be dominant in the AHL, I'll move you up in the NHL. Every GM have his way to tank, and they all think it's the best.
I'll be interested to see what kind of reaction Sheikha gets from the other general managers at the next round of general managers meetings heading into the draft. And I wonder if there's some old school guys who, if you propose a deal to Sheikha and he accepts it, it's like, what kind of secret knowledge What kind of hidden analytic does he have? If he likes the deal that I'm proposing to him, maybe I'm hosing myself
here. I want to see his first draft picks. I want to know if he brings somebody out of the mock draft we all have with the Nylander. Is he going to go somewhere else? We don't know. You know, he's going to pick somebody everybody have as 15 plays, and he's going to pick it at his selection.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to see. It's going to take time, and that's the thing.
And all that, Tippett's going to have more decision to make. He's kind of like Patrick Wynn, right, make decision making now.
And I think the fact that the new GM in Arizona is 26 kind of rubbed people the wrong way. You know, I think that's the impression I got when Arizona hired him. I mean, the guy's going to be 27 in a month, but he's still more or less a baby as far as the real world is concerned,
even
right? I mean, he's 26, 27, no doubt, hands down. And, you know, you see some people have handled it better than others, but there's a sense of bitterness there.
It's honestly, it's crazy that a 26-year-old is the GM of an NHL team.
Remember what you were up to when you were 26?
Yeah. No, I mean, and
you know what I mean?
This guy could be the most mature 20. It is insane. You know, if you had told me a year ago there was going to be a 26-year-old GM in the National Hockey League, no way.
But he's a super stats nerd.
No doubt.
You know?
And for sure, he's a smart and capable guy. You know, I was saying this yesterday. It's not like the Arizona Coyotes are a bunch of idiots that are just like, all right, let's give the keys to the car to this guy, right? I mean, I'm sure they've done their diligence. Having said that, it's unfathomable. And if you're an old school hockey guy, you're for sure being rubbed the wrong way. A, by the fact that this is a guy who never played the game. B, this is a guy who's
background. He played BCHL.
Right, fine. But he never played in the NHL.
No.
Okay?
No.
B, this is a guy whose background is primarily in stats and numbers. And C, this guy is 26 years old.
Right.
If you're an old school hockey guy, there's nothing that you like about this. And, you know, look, it's an old boys
network.
I
can't imagine Rick Dudley what he thinks.
Well, he also, don't forget, he also created a platform that other professional organizations bought from him.
Yeah.
You know, as far as his numbers and his ability to decipher them.
There is value in this stuff.
But there's a big but.
Oh, yeah. I love big buts.
Did I really hear that? Anyway, remember Moneyball? He went after a stats guy in Cleveland in the story. And that stats guy, I don't remember his name.
It was Jonah Hill.
He went on his way to be a GM somewhere else. And it never worked. It can't be only about stats. And there's failing, you know, because we all think about T.O. Epstein, Moneyball, Dubas, who was successful in the OHL. So we all have those success story, but there's downside at that successful story. I think you have to be open at everything who can help you.
Yeah.
And if it's experience from all rat of arena, you need them, and you need those young guys, young guns, who can bring something new to the table.
I don't know. It's an interesting thing. We didn't even talk about any of the games yesterday.
Man.
What?
It was good. It was good.
Did you stay up for triple overtime, Martin?
I fell. You know, I'm dumb. I watch Dallas-St. Louis, and when in overtime, I go like, ah, man, I was so close to go bed early.
Yeah.
So I watch overtime. The goal was early, so I go like, ah, that's good stuff. Raptors, I never watch basketball. I hate it. I said it many times. But basketball was going in overtime. It was 88-88.
That was so such said, a good game. I love
gonna,
that.
Yeah.
I went, I'm going to watch the overtime. And the Heat could score in overtime, so the Raptors won. So I go, ah, still have gas in the tank. I'm going to go to Nashville, San Jose, watch it. Going overtime, never saw the first overtime. I fell off. I think it was close to midnight, waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning and on the couch, and goes like, oh, it's over. 3 overtime. But it was fun. It's a hell of a series, by the way, and the atmosphere in Nashville is great.
It's
and
a great
passion.
Fan base.
You know, Neil, I told you many times, you know, those defensive squad is good, and they show some grit up front, so I like it.
Mike Fisher, baby. He's still around. He's not just Carrie Underwood's husband. He's still a pretty good hockey player.
But he is Carrie Underwood's husband.
No doubt.
After he's a...
He's also a hockey player. He's the only player in history that's demanded a trade to Nashville, as far as I can remember. Trotz, Ruff, Gallant for the Jack Adams.
I said it many times to me that it's all good picks. You know, I don't want to take any of them out. But Jack Capuano, we all know it's tough to win without a number one goalie. He did it 100 point with Thomas Greiss because 36 start for Alec this year. You know, Capuano doesn't get enough credit. Mm.
And with that haircut, you know, he's overcome a lot of adversity. They're in action tonight to Tampa, New York Islanders, and that's the only game tonight, right?
Yeah.
Tough times.
Pittsburgh, it's Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. Good, good, good. I like that.
I like that on Saturday, too, but...
got the Kentucky Derby.
I don't have to go to bed early tonight. Really? I kind of wish there was a couple of games.
There are other sports other than hockey, huh, my friend?
No, there aren't. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
he
baseball.
Hates every sport. He hates every sport.
No, I watched baseball yesterday.
Soccer. I hate basketball. I tell you all the time, I hate basketball.
Basketball, you watched the last 5 minutes. You're right.
Like a NASCAR race, huh?
Like a NASCAR race.
All right, boys. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you, Connor.
That is Martin Lemay from Énergie and RDS.
Hey, have a good weekend. You get your wife anything for Mother's Day?
No.
Not a boy.
She got me.
Do you get her anything for her birthday?
Nah. Come on. She got me.
What did she give you for your birthday?
Nothing.
No gifts?
No, I don't. Me, honestly, my birthday, I don't care.
I know, really, but I mean, I don't, you know, you're an adult. What are you going to do? You know, have a big party and a cake? I understand.
Well, what's wrong with that?
It doesn't mean that no one's, that's fine. I understand. You can do that.
Yeah, nice
but
dinner.
I'm just saying, you know, like I remember there was a point, I reached a point in my life where I was like, oh, can't believe I have to work on my birthday. And then, you know. And then I turned 21, and I was like, "All right, you know, like it's time to just go out there and do it." But
well, maybe I'm gonna go to the flower shop. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean that's a nice thing to do. Luckily, my girlfriend is not a mother, but I feel like you know, when she one day becomes a mother, God willing, I don't know if I'm gonna be down to buy her stuff. I gotta get her birthday, Valentine's Day, anniversary. Mm-hmm. Now I'm adding Mother's Day to the mix.
Hey, don't forget Happy Easter.
And don't forget the spontaneous gifts just because.
Oh, no doubt. You gotta bring the flowers every once in a while. Take her out for dinner.
Yeah. Christmas too.
You know?
Yeah.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Got a spoiler.
Yeah.
Halloween.
You know? Let her choose the position. Whatever.
Hey
you
now.
All right. The morning show on TSN 690.
There's more than one?
Sean doesn't choose. She decides.
We were
she's the boss.
Yes, dear.
We were gonna talk Habs with Marc Dumont on the other side. I wanted to talk Canadians. You know, it was last season the worst collapse in Habs history. Everyone says it was Greg Patterson's season. I want to look at that. And if you could get rid of one contract, if you could choose one contract to get rid of. On the Canadian salary cap, which one would you choose? We're going to do it without Mark. The morning show continues next on TSN 690.